All right, Bart Humphrey's here this morning from the College Station Fire Department. What's going on in the world of smoke eaters? Do we still say smoke eaters, or is that pretty
odd? We still see that every once in a while. Okay. Hopefully we've grown away from that.
Okay. Yeah, so in the firefighter world,
We got all kinds of things going on. We've got a new public awareness project we're starting concerning what we call WUI, Wildland Urban Interface. Where the everybody likes a cute catchphrase. Woo wee, yeah.
This didn't start here, did it? This started someplace else.
We've always known it was here. There's new emphasis. You've probably heard quite a bit from the Bryan Fire Department lately.
No, I mean this whole woo wee thing.
Woo wee.
Yeah. Whatever.
Sure.
Sure. Y'all take credit for it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, but there again, it's something we've always been aware of, but we need to get the public more aware of. And I brought Christina today to talk about that a little bit.
Christine is a new addition here to the College Station Fire Department.
She's our new public education officer.
Ah, there you go. So you're here to educate the public, so to speak.
I am.
Okay, well, thank you. Now, what did you do before you did this?
Before this, I was local at the Children's Museum.
Okay.
Educating in that capacity.
Okay.
Before then, I was educating in Lockhart, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Lifetime devoted to it.
There you go. All right, so what is WUI?
WUI is
the sound you make when you win the lottery.
Yeah.
It's what's known as the Wildland Urban Interface Area.
Okay. Right.
And how we kind of define that is where development meets natural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And about 30% of our land in this area and within the city limits is defined as WUI, Wildland Urban Interface. And so what we're doing with the fire department is we are partnering with a program called Ready, Set, Go. And it's actually in its second year of development, and it's managed by the International Association of Fire Chiefs. And what it does is it teaches individuals who live in the wildland urban interface areas how to prepare and improve their properties of the threat of wildfires. And it's just those three words, ready, set, go. And so ready is just simply being what we call fire wise and preparing your home by creating a defensible space, by clearing away brush and assembling emergency supplies and planning your escape routes should a wildfire ever occur in your area. The set part of ready, set, go is more of that situational awareness and just being aware of what's going on so that you are ready once something does happen, if something happens. And then the go is just that's when you follow your plan. And we have a lot of materials that we are working on that are going to be available to the public in the next few weeks. And we're excited to talk to homeowners and different community groups about those. So if you're concerned and want more information about that, in the meantime, you can call the fire department and we can give you more information on that.
So 30%, I mean, I think that's a higher number than I thought.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. So right. What we're talking about here is, I guess, as developments start happening within the ETJ or within the city limits, mm-hmm. then you're backed up to land that has not been developed in any way.
That's,
and so you've got that raw
that's
grass
a lot of
there.
It. Annexation has a lot to do with it, too. Our last annexation, mm-hmm. or the city's last annexation, a lot of that was undeveloped area that came into the city. So that brings that wild land possibility with it. Of course, we have developments inside the city with, that 1 acre or acre and a half lot, and mm-hmm. the house sits in the middle, and mm-hmm. we like that natural environment,
yeah.
and we let it grow up close to the house, and we, as fire department, can't get in there when we do have some kind of wildfire.
Now, that's, and I guess we think about trees, but, I mean, grass fires end up can cause
bet.
Problem, too.
You know,
we're not what we see in California and that sort mm-hmm. of thing, obviously those are tree-driven in some
right.
ways, but a grass fire could still be just as dangerous.
Oh, yeah. You remember the fires we had around here in 2011, the Bastrop Fire. Of course, that was a little different with the Lost Pines and all that, but
right.
Those in Grimes and Montgomery County, the Dyer Mills Fire and the other fires, pasture fire, those things are hard to fight. That fire can run faster than you can.
Yeah.
And then it gets into the underbrush and up in the crowns of the trees. It's just been so dry for so long. This is something that where the residents can take some personal responsibility and do some things to to safeguard their homes from wildfire. And it also helps us as the responders to get in. We're working really closely with the Texas A&M Forest Service. We've developed a wildfire plan for the community. That'll probably be presented to the city council maybe at their next council meeting for their review and adoption. And that kicks us off to a citywide plan for protection in case we do face some wildfires.
I'm going to ask you this. I was going to ask you off the air, but I think I'll ask you on the air. And this really is an outcropping of the discussion they had in Bryan, because they're going to build about 600 new rooftops over in Bryan, and there was discussion about how far the setback should be.
Right.
And what they did is they referenced that y'all looked at this, I think, in Castle Rock and in Castle Gate as to what the setback should be.
Right.
Developer wants it 5 feet. Firefighters would prefer to be larger. Why do you want that to be a longer setback?
Access, so we can get between these residences and set up a defensible line between the residences so fires don't move from house to house. You know, there are some areas that have what they call zero lot line clearance. Your eave can go right to your property line, and your neighbors can too. But we prefer some distance in that property line. We'd like to see a 10 or 12 foot minimum, but there again, developers, the more lots you can put on a piece of land, the more return you're going to get, and we understand that. So we've got to strike a medium. If they want them closer together, then maybe we can get more fire resistant roofs or siding or something like that to help combat that, what we call exposure fires, or fire extending from building to building.
Now, we had talked before, and again, this is way off subject, but, you know, you've been in this for a little while, so I like to hear the official from people who've been in the business. We had talked about when the rise in the stack went up that the concentration of cars parked on the side of the street is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those streets are even wider than some of the residential streets we have. So in neighborhoods, what are the conditions that you have that cause a problem to get a fire truck through when you've got, you know, four or five people living in a house and they're going to be parked on the street? So what can you do in residential neighborhoods?
Well, you know, the code is, you need off-street parking spaces, and that is kind of equated to number of bedrooms. And for rental properties, then definitely you have to have off-street parking for however many occupants you foresee being in that rental property. There are also codes that dictate width of streets in different areas, depending on whether it's single-family or multifamily. Or commercial and things like that. And if we do have problems in areas with like people parking on both sides, we'll go out, we'll do surveys, we'll take pictures, we'll look at it, and it may be a situation where parking is removed from maybe one side of the street to ensure emergency access.
But at the end of the day, if there's a house burning at the end of the street, a code violation is not going to save the house. I mean, you end up forcing through? What do you have to do in that case?
If necessary, we'll drag hose. If we can't get an apparatus through, we'll drag hose.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
You bet.
Well, again, it's something people ought to think about in days when there aren't fires in the house.
Well, certainly.
Hearing the story about people out on vacation and their house burned down while they were gone. I mean,
that's,
you know,
true. Yeah.
Those things happen. You need to think about that, and you need to think about that the streets aren't passable. Anyway.
Yeah, certainly. And there again, you know, you've been around on game days. You know how the problem
Been
a little while there. And there again, when we foresee that there may be a problem, there's a little extra effort put into patrolling areas, enforcement, and things like that.
Sure.
So that's just things you got to do.
That's it. Well, again, thank you for your expertise. I always like to go off subject because you know a lot about this. Christina, thanks for coming in. We'll see you soon. All right. Do you have anything else you want to yell across the room to us, Mr. Sokol?
Have a great weekend.
All right.
One more thing.
Yes.
4th of July is coming up. I got to caution you about fireworks.
Yeah, that's true.
Possession, sale, use, transportation of fireworks in either city, Bryan or College Station, is against the law.
Yep.
So as dry as it's been, you know, we all love fireworks, but there's a great professional show that usually goes on at the George Bush Library.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and see that. Don't use fireworks in the city. The fire hazard, the injury hazard. We want everybody to have a safe 4th of July.
Do it smart.